In Africa, economic and political progress are tied to healthcare, according to global healthcare experts. If diseases that overwhelm poor people are not treated, they warn, development will stall. However, many efforts to provide care have not succeeded. Now, in the Central African country of Uganda, executives of an American healthcare plan are in partnership with local health activists to try to create something that will last. They're building a healthcare system that is paid for and run by the people it serves. NPR's Joanne Silberner has two stories of Ugandans who need healthcare, the people who are participating in the new system, and one man who is not.
In a remote village atop a lush green mountain in western Uganda, two brothers argue about who owns a pile of coffee beans. One of them picks up a spear and stabs the other in the back, creating a deep and ominous gash. But there's no ambulance available here. No emergency room is nearby. In fact, there are no doctors for miles. And this family has no cash set aside to pay for transportation or medical care. So relatives and friends put the man on a rough stretcher made of lashed-together branches, and they begin a long, slow hike to a free government clinic. Difficulty getting medical care is not unusual in rural Uganda, but what's about to happen a dozen miles away on another mountaintop is very rare. People are gathering in a tiny village named Buweju to dedicate a new health clinic building. A four-wheel drive van is bringing some of the clinic organizers. One of them is Scott Abisher, an American healthcare executive from Minnesota. He's bounced up this deeply rutted red clay road leading to Buweju before.
One big giant shaker, you know, like a big milkshake being shook up. Your body gets pretty jolted around for about 45 minutes on this road.
Abisher comes to Uganda a couple of times a year to work with local healthcare organizers. The year before, he tried to get to Buweju, but failed.
We couldn't make it because of the rainy season, and so all the ruts were so badly in place that our vehicle couldn't make it up, and we had to turn around and come back.
Abisher and a colleague donate their time to this effort. Ugandan organizers are funded by the U.S. Agency for International Development. But what the Ugandans and Americans are building relies on local support. It's a health co-op where members pay a fee every 4 months. And in return, they get medical care when they need it. At the top of the mountain, Abisher, several of the Ugandan organizers, and his colleague George Halverson pile out of the van on shaky legs. Halverson used to run a Minnesota health co-op called Health Partners. It's the model for the Ugandan co-op. Halverson watches as villagers climb towards the clinic for today's event.
Some of the people will walk 5 or even 10 miles to get to the meeting. So when you call a meeting in Uganda, it's no small thing. It's an incredible inconvenience for people to get there. And so it's important to do something worthwhile once they arrive.
Today there'll be a roof-raising ceremony. The co-op is finishing up a bright new brick building that will replace the dark, mud-floored shack they've been using. Some people will get membership cards welcoming them into the co-op. There will be singing, dancing, and lots of speeches, and the inauguration of a new ambulance service. The entire village is on hand, and the visitors are greeted warmly.
Our dear visitors from America, you are welcome, you are welcome. You are welcome, you are welcome, you are welcome here at Ibulele.
The average life expectancy in Uganda is 43 years. In a way, this is a celebration of a chance to beat those odds. Medical services are spotty across Uganda, but at the top of this mountain, in the village of Buweju, people have a place to go right nearby with medical supplies, a doctor, and two nurses.
And behalf
of the farmers and the residents,
they are very grateful for whatever you have extended to them and all that you continue to bring for their help.
Okay, so today we are roofing this clinic.
George Halverson says medical needs in Uganda are so great that it's tempting for international aid groups to simply pay for the construction of hospitals and clinics. But on his first visit to the country, he saw almost new facilities standing empty and unused. One of them was full of goats. So Halverson has come to believe charity isn't the answer.
The people who are being charitable give up, get tired, find a new charity, move on. And when that happens, the programs die. There's a saying in one of the Ugandan languages that says something like, when the white faces leave, the cure goes away. And we think that's a bad model.
On the other hand, the co-op in Buweju is growing. It now has more than 200 families, more than 900 people. For a family of four, a year's membership costs 48,000 Ugandan shillings, about $29 a year. For that, they get basic health care, treatment for malaria and pregnancy, for dysentery and accidents. In Buweju, people plant and harvest tea and sell it collectively to a factory, so they get the co-op idea. Joy Batusa, one of the organizers of the Uganda Health Cooperative, says, even so, the notion of paying in advance for a service that might never be used can be a strange one.
People have very low and stable incomes, and yet their priorities are many. Their wish list, if I may call it, is very, very long. It has things like food, school fees, maybe housing in some places, etc., etc., etc. So, healthcare is not number one on the priority list. It is not number one. So how do you explain it to people?
When Batusa and the other organizers go into the villages, they ask the people, who has died recently? What did they die of? Villagers often tell her it was something simple or something preventable. Malaria, childbirth problems, an accident, or even a family dispute, like when the man on the stretcher was stabbed. And the villagers admit they rarely have money on hand for transportation or medical care.
So that is how we walk through it. And then at the end of the day, they realize that maybe if we put aside a little of our savings from each of our households, a little of our savings, we would be able to prevent diseases that are killing members in that community.
George Halverson is convinced the health co-op concept can only work if Ugandans themselves are in charge.
It's local control, local decisions. We help people understand what decisions could be made, but in each case, the local co-op decides what the benefit package will be, which caregivers will be used, how the care will be delivered, and that gives people a sense of empowerment and control. And we think that's important, and we think that's one of the reasons why some of the people are working so hard to make the program a success.
So I would like to invite our guest of honor, Mr. George Halverson, to say a few words to us. Thank you.
Halverson is a shy, quiet man, but he recognizes that big moments, like getting a card that guarantees the right to medical care, require a celebration. And for this, he'll give a speech.
Well, it is a great honor for me to be here today speaking to you.
Halverson tells the co-op members that it takes work to make this happen, like what people did 40 years ago in Minnesota when Health Partners started.
And when they started the first clinic, the clinic had no money, and the people brought furniture from their homes, lights from their homes, to furnish the clinic, and the very first doctor could only come for half time.
Now Halverson tells them the health co-op in the U.S. has 700,000 members and 600 full-time physicians.
So when I look at the wonderful thing that you are doing here today as members, building this clinic and starting all of these facilities and all of these programs, I am very mindful that we are coming from the same place. We are sister organizations, and I bring you from our members congratulations for what you are accomplishing here.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. Finally, Halverson gets to do something he really likes, hand out the ID cards to the new co-op members.
I would also like to take the honor to call people who have recently joined the scheme so that our guest of honor can give them cards, present them cards. I'll call out the name. Bamjeya
Arwahwa Chandra. The cards are big, with full-color photographs of each family.
Congratulations.
Okay. Rohanda Gana.
They're often the only photos these people have.
Very good. Very good. Well done. Congratulations.
Okay. Abenito Amos.
But Halverson says the reason he enjoys this is because the cards mean so much to these families.
they get the card and they know that they can take that card with their child to the hospital or to the doctor and get care as a result of it. And the day before they had that card, they did not have access to that same doctor or that same hospital. So the card is a symbol of their ability to deliver care to their family.
It gives them a guarantee of care, where most Ugandans have only doubts and fears. Like Arias Muharis, the wounded man on the stretcher. He's been carried for hours by his family and friends. He's falling in and out of consciousness. There's a government clinic just a mile from Bueju. The stretcher bearers can only hope he'll get help there. The clinics are frequently understaffed and poorly equipped. Injuries claim many victims because there's no health care available. But in Uganda, it's women and children who suffer the most from the lack of medical facilities. Nationally, 15% of Ugandan babies don't make it to their fifth birthday, and many women die in childbirth. The new clinic building in Bueju is called the Mother and Child Rescue Project. It will provide care to women having problems during labor. At the celebration today, Abishur has presents for the first baby born in the health co-op.
The name?
Akatukunda Naomi.
I'm not going to be able to say that.
At least you can say Naomi. Naomi. Good.
Okay. Naomi, on behalf of Health Partners and Busheni Medical Center, we'd like to give you our gifts for being the first baby born at the satellite.
Oh, thank you.
This is for the baby. Uh-huh. Yes. This is for the mother.
Yes.
Okay?
Abishur picks up the baby. She stares at his bright blue eyes, his bushy mustache, and white face.
Hello.
Okay. It's the first white face she's ever seen. She's certainly healthy. But even with the mother and child clinic opening up in Bueju, things can still go wrong. The 18-mile journey down the mountain to the hospital can be a matter of life and death for women whose labors are going badly. That's because there are no ambulances in rural Uganda. For many, walking or being carried is the only way to get to a hospital. The friends of the stabbing victim have been carrying him on foot for hours, and they still have a long way to go.
Just ahead, when Joanne Silberner's report continues, we'll hear about the health co-op's emergency transportation service for its members.